Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Second Corinthians 5:17, we already did. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We see back in Isaiah a little bit looking forward to what that another way, another metaphor, if you will, or way of looking at this new creation. From verse 25 of Isaiah 40, it says, "To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing." So, you know, the idea of lifting your eyes up on high, I was listening to I can't remember the name of the book, an audio book yesterday, at writing to Kingston. And one of the things that he said is that that a lot of atheists wouldn't be atheists if they tried praying. And I did a blah, 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 like that. I said, you know, backed up the CD. I said, "What'd you say again?" He said, "If atheists tried praying, many of them wouldn't be atheists. Because even trying praying requires at least some kind of faith. And as long as you've got some kind of faith, God will respond." And he says, that God will prove himself to you. You know, people say you can't prove, and if you have ever had a conversation with an atheist or an agnostic, they'll say, "Well, you can't prove God." Well, you're right. I can't prove God to you, but God has been proven to me. And he proved it to me in a very dynamic and in a very real, in a very material kind of way. God proved himself to me. Now, I can't take that and I can't make you believe that, but I can be a witness to what God has done for me. You see what I'm saying? Now I can go on the stand and the judge can say, "You know, you got to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Hand on the Bible, yes, sir. Do you believe there's a God? Yes, sir. Do you know there's a God? Yes, sir. How can you prove there's a God?" Well, I can't prove it to you, but there was a time when I knelt on the floor and I said a prayer and God revealed himself to me on that spot. I will go to my death. I will go for the rest of my life, and I promise you that God met me there and God revealed himself to me at that point, at that time, and since then, many times along the way. And he's answered prayers and he showed himself. So it may be true that God is invisible on some level, and we can't see him on some level, but it's also true that if you have faith, he'll reveal himself. And so when this idea of lifting up your eyes on high is just taking your mind off of the horizontal plane of life, where everything you know about life has to do with the political world, has to do with the relational world, the social world, has to do with the material world, has to do with the essence of your ego somehow rooting itself somewhere in this world. However you define yourself is, in comparison to other people, in comparison to, you know, whatever else we see in the world, other nations, other countries, all of those kind of things, that's all the horizontal. And this scripture says, who will you liken me to? Who will I be equal, says the Holy One. It says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created all these things. So the first thing that it requires is that you lift your eyes up off of the material world and consider the creator of all of these things. Consider what kind of entity has created all of these things. Now, they've got us in a little bit of a confused 15, 20 minutes here on Earth, because they've said it all just sort of accidentally. Nothing blew up and it turned into us. And I think it takes far more faith to believe that. I think God is self-evident. And even before I was a true believer, I knew God was self-evident. He calls them all by name, by his greatness, by his might, by the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? That is the same as to say, how come God doesn't reveal himself? How can a good God allow such kind of, you know, all the evil to happen in the world? Really, that's what he's saying. So my way is hidden from the Lord. My just claim is passed over. Why do you even speak that way? And frankly, it's intimated here that they haven't prayed. They haven't asked. And their deeds have been evil. And a lot of reasons, a lot of people won't go to God in prayers because their deeds are evil. And evil deeds keep people from God. It doesn't keep God from us, because God sent his son to die for our sins. He knows the evil that we are capable of and we fall into. And even people who are walking the walk, when they slip back into some of those old ways, that evil will keep you from God, and then you end up accusing God, saying, God has passed me over. And the truth is that a relationship with God is a relationship with God. Prayer is prayer. Asking will be given to you, seeking you'll find, knocking the door will be open. That's an unqualified statement that Jesus made. Asking will be given to you, seeking you'll find, knocking the door will be open. That's an unqualified statement. Can you believe that about you? Can you believe that scripture has to do with you? But we say, my just claim has passed over by God. God hasn't done that for me. He hasn't given me the desires of my heart. He hasn't moved things for me. You see what I'm saying? But what's intimated is that through sinfulness, we've created a divide between us and God, because we know that God is holy. But he's also merciful, right? It says from verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. God neither faints nor is weary. I love that. I love it that God is on the job. I love it that God never takes a day off. I love it that God is never as close to you as the breath of your lungs, that God is always with you. He's always completely conscious and looking completely to hear words of faith from you so that he can respond. It is his desire to respond to your faith. It is his desire to respond to your faith. He stands waiting to prove himself, to show himself, to respond to your faith. That's the truth. Now, is there patience involved? Absolutely. How long does it take? Always longer than you want it to. Always longer than you want it to. And what is that about? It's about you. It's about your faith. You know, you hold it up a little bit more, longer, longer, longer. Your muscles begin to shake, right, with heavy weight that you're holding. You know, but that strengthens you, strengthens your faith. No, God is not a wind-up monkey, you know, who's you know, a little God we rub his belly and a statue in the corner to do things for us. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's God Almighty. And you're his progeny. You're his family. You're his children. And he wants desperately to have a relationship with you. Haven't you known, haven't you heard that God, the Almighty, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. You try to figure him out. Don't figure him out. Just ask for what you want. That's how you develop a relationship. You don't. When you're a little child and you ask your mom or your dad for a lollipop or something, you don't try to you don't try to outsmart them. Well, you do learn after a while how to push your parents' buttons. Please, I could break my parents down. I'm telling you, I could break my parents down. Christmas time. It started Halloween. Started breaking them down. That's right. I found out it works just as well with God. God, believe it or not, God favors the schmoozer. You think I'm kidding? I am not kidding. God favors the schmoozer. You schmooze him. You love him. You tell him how great he is, how awesome he is. Number one, he is. And number two, he likes to hear it from you. Because he's getting some love back for all of his effort. Not just you fussing and fighting and complaining and whining. He gets some love back from you. Thanks, Pop. You're awesome. God, you're awesome, Father. Right? It says he gives power to the weak. One of the problems is we're all so strong. We all got rods of iron in our backbone. We don't want to bend. We don't want to be bent. We don't want our wills bent by the King, by the Lord, by the Master. We want to be self-sufficient. See, he only gives strength to the weak. He doesn't give strength to the strong. He gives strength to the weak. And you have to admit your weakness. It's Jacob, right, wrestling with God. And God's saying, say your name, confess your name, right? Confess it, say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. Jacob said, I am letting you go until you bless me. And he says, you're going to say your name. My name is Jacob. I'm the supplanter. I'm a user. I play head games with people. He had to admit his weakness. He said, now you're Prince of God. But you will also walk with a limp. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How about that at this point in your life? How about that you've got so much energy that you want to do handsprings down Main Street? That you could jump over a wall, that you could run with full out, with joy, with energy, with life from God, with power, with zeal, with happiness. How would you like that to be refilled with that? How would you like that to be refilled with that? How does Christianity become so glum? How does Christianity become so lifeless? There's nothing like that anywhere in the Word of God. This dull, droll, oh my gosh, right? But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And you know, waiting on the Lord is active. Waiting on the Lord is not passive. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, you're not. No, you're not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is a place where your mind is actively looking. When you're looking for him, that's when you see him. When you're waiting on the Lord, when you're looking for him, you're anticipating him to show up, that's when he shows up. Because I think people walked right by Jesus, ready to pass out their blessing. And they walk right by him because they're not waiting for him. Lift up your eyes on high. Lift up your eyes on high. You've got to be in a position. You've got to position yourself to be waiting on him, to be looking in the Spirit for his movement. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You'll know that it's God when these little circumstances begin. You know, Elijah's praying and he keeps sending his servant back and telling me, what do you see? And no sign of rain. And he's praying for rain. No sign of rain. Seven times he sends the servant back to look over the hill. No sign of rain. And then finally the servant comes back and says, I see a cloud as a man's hand. Elijah said, it's done. The rain is coming. All he had to do was see the cloud as the size of a man's hand. He says, my prayer is answered. Here it comes. They who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. You'll see God in the details of your life. Generation transformation. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Who's up for a season like that? Who else is up for a season like that? Okay? I'm telling you, you really can't know God unless you're willing to pray. You're praying from your heart. And it takes time for you to dig down in deeper into your heart to know what it is that you even want. Because most of this stuff you say you want every day, you're just being a Paul parrot of the rest of culture. You're praying your commercials out. Because that's not what you want in your deep self. Your deep self doesn't want those things. Your deep self has a deeper, more significant, legitimate need. Your pain is real. The sense of God having passed you by is real. All of those things are real. Prayer runs deep. You drill deep in prayer. You spend enough time to get to what your heart is really crying for. And then you take that to the Father, and then you anticipate his response. Amen? So Ezekiel 36 from verse 24, we're talking about the transformation. What is this transformation that takes place? And it says, for I will take you from among the nations, he's talking about his people, and gather you out of all countries and bring you back to your own land. It's the land of faith that we dwell in. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. So what's the sign of this? I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, is the fact that you have a new heart. Christians are supposed to have a new heart. Your heart better be distinctly different than your counterparts who are not saved. Everything about Jesus works from inward to the outside, not outside to the in. Starts with a new heart. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit inside of you. I will give you a new heart. That is the sign of your conversion. That is the sign of your transformation. That now you have to line up your thinking with this new heart of yours. You have a new heart. You do not have a heart of stone anymore. And we have to be careful because we can regress back into a stony-hearted people. And the great gift of Jesus is he gives us a new heart. He gives us the ability to feel, gives us the ability to love. He gives us the ability to have sound courage and wisdom and all of those things that come from a healthy heart, not a hardened heart. You know, remember the guy with the crippled hand? And they said, stretch out. And Jesus said, stretch out your hand. And all the Pharisees got mad at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. Are you kidding me? Do you believe that we can become that shallow, that angry, that Jesus does a creative miracle right in front of our eyes, restores a crippled man's hand, a frozen hand, a wooden hand, and gives this guy life, and we're mad because it didn't fit into our religious box? We get upset because he didn't do it according to our pedigree. And Jesus said, your problem is the hardness of your heart. Your problem is the hardness of your heart, or else you'd have seen the miracle. Okay? So we want a new heart. So now we're going to say, if we have a new heart, because I kind of usually follow the same direction. If I have a new heart, what does it look like? And so now Galatians chapter 5 talks about what it's like if we have a new heart. Paul, in his wonderful contrasts, Paul's great at doing these contrast comparisons. He contrasts the works of the flesh, which are the product of the old heart, to the fruit of the Spirit, which is a product of the new heart. So he says, Galatians 5 from 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So he says here, now that we're a composite, right? We're human beings who have received of the Holy Spirit. Now we represent a composite of flesh and spirit. And he says, now that you've received the Holy Spirit, I have to tell you something. They don't like each other. They don't like each other. You've received the Holy Spirit. You've been born again. You have a new heart. But I'm going to tell you something. Your flesh and your spirit, they don't like each other. They're contrary to each other, so we have to aspire to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And that's the great Christian conundrum, that we're this composite of two sides, and we have sort of this war going on. Okay? Now, the works of the flesh are evident. I really like that, because the works of the flesh are evident. The works of the flesh are, you can see them. Anybody can see them. Works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things, you're talking about a practitioner now. We're not talking about one who slips once in a while. We're not talking about a slipper. We're talking about a practitioner. He who practices such things, outbursts of wrath, sexual uncleanness, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, ambition, outbursts of wrath, drunkenness. Practice such things, those who practice, the practitioners of those things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Isn't that like a simple passage of scripture that goes to the, cuts deeply, doesn't it? Cuts all the way to the heart. I love that he says there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You can do that as much as you want. You can be as nice to me as you want to be. You can be as kind to me. You can be as kind to your brother as you want to be. There is no law against you being kind, you loving, you caring. Fruit of the Spirit. Now, you have the Holy Spirit. You say, I don't feel those things. Well, right. you get in the Word, and you've got, those are spiritual forces. If it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they're spiritually bred. Love and joy and peace, they're not product of what happens. It's not happiness, things that happen. They're products of the Spirit, of life in the Spirit. That this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gives you such a buoyancy that no matter what your circumstances, no matter what happens, it doesn't destroy your mood, your attitude, your life. You don't turn into this bitter curmudgeon or whatever. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That means you suffer for a long time. I don't know if you want to look that up. You don't have to. Long-suffering means you suffer for a long time. Right? Yeah, in the Greek, it means that you'll suffer for a long time. Because God is not on our timetable. But please hear me, that if you will buy in, if you'll buy into this, if you'll buy into this thing, you'll practice, you'll become a practitioner, you'll try to get good at being in the Lord Jesus Christ, it pays off in greater ways than you could ever imagine. The wealth that you get from God, the wealth that comes from God, is far more than any wealth that the world can give. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law.
Hello, my name is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a message today entitled, Generation Transformation, A New Heart. He closed with a scripture from Galatians chapter 5. It reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's go back to verse 24 where it reads, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The Apostle Paul describes repentance metaphorically here as a crucifixion of the old life of sin, turning from it fully and finally. We have to die to our old lifestyles and turn our life over to Christ. He came and died for our sins so we could have a relationship with Him. If you've never asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, will you pray with me now? Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I believe you died, were buried, and rose again. I ask for your forgiveness of my sins. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Father, thank you for your sacrifice. I turn from my sinful way today and walk forward into a new relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I would encourage you to get a Bible, find a Bible-believing church, and start a prayer life. If you don't have a church, we'd love for you to visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 10 o'clock Sunday morning at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center, and if this word has impacted you in any way, would you consider financially supporting the work of On Fire Radio? You can give online at cmcconline.org. You can also find out more information about Catskill Mountain Christian Center, On Fire Radio, and other ministries by going to that website, cmcconline.org, or by searching Catskill Mountain Christian Center on Facebook. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson, thanking you for listening to On Fire Radio this week. God bless, and we'll see you in church.